Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Jill, and I'm here with my podcasting partner, Daniel.
Hello.
Okay, and today we are talking about self-limiting beliefs. What are they? Why do we get them? And how to get rid of them? You know, those feelings, it's very similar to imposter syndrome, but those feelings of you're giving yourself a label, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm not clever enough, or somebody else is doing the stuff that I want to do, so therefore I can't do it. It's all those kind of feelings that go on inside your head that we all have. So we're going to have a look at some of the most common ones and how we can start to get rid of them, because we've all dealt with them, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah, we've experienced them, so we're going to give examples of when we've overcome them, ones that we're currently going through. Yeah, we're going to help people to understand what they are and some tactics of how to overcome them, because that's really important. There's no point in just talking about them and then not trying to give any help. So, but there are some pretty simple ways, aren't there? We're going to talk about it later on, but it's important once you figure out that you can overcome them, that to help other people overcome them as well, because you get what you give, don't you? So if you can help other people, then it's going to help you.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we've been talking, I think that we've both realized that me and you are just a bundle of self-limiting beliefs. And I believe that everybody else is as well. It's just those things that go on in our heads that we build these perceptions up and assumptions up. We've become like fortune tellers, really, don't we? We try to read each other's minds and we know what other people are thinking about us, don't we?
Yeah, it's funny because you just mentioned the word bundle there. It's kind of triggered me, but I heard a good analogy about a self-limiting belief. If you picture it like in your mind, it's like a knot, like a big ball of rope, and you just have to keep picking away at that knot all the time until it's like a nice, smooth piece of rope. Like, analogies work really well in my head for some reason. But I thought that's a good one, that you just need to pick away and just keep unraveling it and unravel it. Because over time, it'll just get bigger and bigger and more tangled. Yeah. You have to start picking away at it.
It's one of those things that you've got to work on constantly. Like anything, you don't just do a bicep curl once and expect to have bulging muscles. You've got to keep on doing it every day. So what would you say, Dan, is your definition of a self-limiting belief?
There's quite a few definitions. There's no kind of one definitive one, but they're all kind of roughly the same. I would describe it as it's a decision we make or a story we tell ourselves about the way we are or the way the world is or the way the world works, and that we can or can't do something, and a self-limiting belief holds us back from where we want to be. You've got a good definition as well, which is a bit more concise than mine.
Well, I think I got this one off the internet. It is assumptions or perceptions that you've got about yourself and about the way the world works. They are self-limiting because they hold you back from achieving what you're capable of. And I think that's kind of describes it in a nutshell. And, you know, some of the most common ones would be, I'm not good enough. The stuff that I'm producing is not good enough if you have your own business or in work as well. Or there's already somebody doing it. And it stops you, it creates a fear of failure. Some people have a fear of success as well. And it kind of stems sometimes from a fear of rejection as well.
Yeah, and they can come from like a long way into your history as well. So a lot of them come from childhood. We were speaking before we went on air, a lot of these big issues can be created by literally something as like your teacher telling you something in class. And then that just gets magnified over time because you never resolve it. And obviously, you're quite impressionable when you're young as well. So you take something and you run with it and you think that's the truth because you don't know any different. And then it just amplifies over time. But yeah, eventually we need to tell ourselves that that's not the truth.
Yeah, it's like the programming in your brain. And if you think about a computer program, if it's programmed wrong at the beginning, that doesn't change no matter how many times you run that program and you in the computer, does it? It's something that you have to go back to and readjust, like what you were saying about your knot analogy. Untie that knot a little bit, and then that will help you further on down the line. But if you never address it, it will always be there somewhere to reappear later on, won't it?
Yeah, and I think we all recognize that we have them. We often just bury them down because it's a little bit easier that way. Then if they do become slightly more conscious, we then procrastinate and we don't act on it, which is sometimes even worse because you know you should. Like, if you're unconscious about something, then it's quite easy because you don't know. But then when you know about it and you don't act on it, then it really plays on your mind, doesn't it? You feel uncomfortable that you think, oh, I know I should do this, but I'm not doing it. So you're unhappy with yourself. That's an even worse feeling. So yeah. There's a good tactic to try and figure out which limiting beliefs are holding you back. So it's the name it, blame it, tame it technique, which is a good, well, it rhymes first of all, which is the most important thing.
I like a good rhyming thing.
Yeah. So first of all, you must name it. So actually speak out loud what it is that your limiting belief is. So make it conscious. Don't just let it just play in the back of your mind. Actually bring it up and address it, even if it's in your own head. That's really important. So name it and then blame it. So this limiting belief is causing you to feel this way or act this way. So these are the outcomes of that limiting belief. So you have to put blame on it for the things that happen in your life. And then you need to tame it eventually. So you need to use those negative thoughts to maybe realize what you don't want in life or what you do want in life. Try and think of it as an opportunity, especially if you overcome the limiting belief, that it's been an opportunity to strengthen your mind and to strengthen your intuition that you know what you want. So name it, blame it, and tame it.
I like that. That's a good analogy. And, you know, we've all got these beliefs inside of us that, like you say, are either from childhood or we give labels to things. So that's another type of self-limiting belief, like I'm too old, I'm too fat. Those are kind of labels that we apply to ourselves. And also personalizing things is quite another common self-limiting belief. The other day, so I'd been asking for feedback on a program that I'd been running, and 100% of them said they loved the program, they'd all gained benefits from it. And one of them, it was all anonymous, so I didn't know who said it. It said, like, one, it wasn't even a criticism. They said, this is not a criticism. But they said something, and I was just like, oh my God, everyone thinks I'm shit. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't even like, it was no way like that. Once my rational brain, it's like the chimp brain kicks in, doesn't it, at first, and takes offense at everything. And I was just like, oh no, the whole world thinks I'm shit. I'll never sell anything again. I'm going to go crawl in a hole and just close my studio down and never, you know. That's how my brain works, but I don't think I'm alone in that. Do you?
No, tell me I'm not. It's perfectionism, isn't it?
Yeah.
People want everything to be perfect. But the best thing that can happen is constructive feedback sometimes.
Yeah.
Because then it makes you improve. But it's not nice to hear, is it? But you need to be thick skin.
Absolutely. I know. And like, that was the first time I'd ever run that program. So of course there's going to be glitches in it and stuff, you know? So, and my rational brain knew that. But because somebody said, like, out of all of the people who'd, and even that person had said that they loved it. It was just the one thing. I was like, oh my God, the world hates me.
And yeah, but when you change the perspective, you think, oh well, this is an opportunity for me to make a better product. It's a better opportunity for me to accept different types of feedback. So it's, they're all good things, really.
Yeah.
You just need to accept that, don't you?
Yeah, but you do just think that the world thinks that you're shit for a while. And then your rational brain kicks in, but that can take a little while, can't it? You know, the chimp brain takes over first.
So. Yeah. And a good thing to think about is, if you are suffering with limiting beliefs, are they your own beliefs, or are they something someone's just told you, or the way the world works? So you just accept that that's the way it is. But then you have to think back. There's always been pioneers and trailblazers who've totally just gone the opposite way and made something happen. And then that becomes the norm. So just because no one else has never done it that way doesn't mean that you can't do it that way. So yeah. are your limiting beliefs your own, or are they just assumptions that you think, oh, well, no one else has done it, so I can't. But someone has to be the first to do something.
Yeah. When I think, look, like, I've been running my business now for 5 years. And when I look back at what I started off being like if I look back from where I am now to then, I would never have dreamt that I would be doing things like this, like doing a podcast and stuff, you know. And because when you have your own business, you've really got to put yourself out there, haven't you? You know, you've got to sell stuff, and people buy you more than what you're selling sometimes, and well, all the time really. And you know, to get yourself out, I would never have in a million years dreamt that I would be doing stuff like this. You know, it was like, I just want to teach a few Pilates classes. And the first time you ever teach a class as well, oh Dan, can you remember that?
Absolutely terrified.
It's awful, yeah. Isn't it? The first time you teach, any, if you get up in front of a class is like the worst thing in the world, isn't it? You know, like, what's their number one fear is public speaking, isn't it? And going and teaching a class is just horrendous, isn't it, for the first time?
Yeah, it's a mix of excitement, a lot of nervous energy, fear. And then when you complete the class, it's that adrenaline rush. There's a lot of big emotions going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Even when, because obviously we've been doing a lot of online stuff with the lockdown. The first time I went live, it was like a Friday night. I went live online.
I remember. Yeah.
It's been years since I've been that nervous. I was pacing around the kitchen like 15 minutes before it started. I was so nervous. And then it was a success. It went really well. Then when I finished, I was high as a kite. And then after a few more sessions, you think, what was all the fuss about? But yeah, you have to break the ice initially and get it done, don't you?
Yeah. It's like our first podcast that we've never released, have we? Recorded it. Because as soon as we switched the mics on, we both what do we do?
It absolutely fell apart.
We sounded like robots.
Yeah. So it's like these are good examples of our own self-limiting beliefs that we've currently gone through or we have been through. The exercise class was a good one. I never thought about that, but that was a big one, yeah. The podcast, definitely, because we both thought, like, oh, who's going to listen to us? There's already millions of other podcasters out there. We aren't educated enough. We're not smart enough. We don't have the software. We don't know how to use that. But this is how I like to think of it. If there's already another million people in the world who are podcasting, then it shows there is a demand for podcasts. So I use it as a good sign. Then I think, oh, well, I don't know how to edit a podcast, but neither did anyone else. So you look for some software and you think, oh, well, someone's built this software and it must be really easy because I'm not a tech guy and I can use it. So all the negative thoughts then turn to, oh, well, there's really easy solutions. So you just flip the coin, don't you?
Yeah, I've been reading a book. I think Vicky mentioned it the other day. It's called Bird by Anne Lamott. And I've read it before, but I thought after I'd spoken to Vicky, I read it again. And she talks about the inch wide photo frame. So when she's writing a book, it's a massive undertaking. So what she does, she has an inch wide photo frame on a thing. And she just talks about just looking through that, looking at one little thing and then doing the next little thing and then doing the next. So you only look an inch, not at the whole big picture of, oh my God, I've got to paint this huge picture. Just paint a little tiny inch of it first and then work on that. And so she talks a lot about just going an inch wide first and then taking it. And that's what we've done, haven't we? So it doesn't seem like such a massive undertaking when we've spent 3 months trying to perfect our technique, haven't we? We're still learning all about it. But if we'd let our beliefs hold us back, we would never have got here.
We never would have started. And in a year's time, we'll probably listen back to these ones and think, God, we're 10 times better now. But you wouldn't get to a year's time. You wouldn't get to that point if you don't go through what we've been through the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
It's just you have to start. Like Vicky said, mentioning Vicky, it's all about momentum. It takes a great force to get started. But once you have momentum, it's then easier to keep rolling forward.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the podcast with Vicky, do, because she's comes up with some really good points as well, doesn't she, about her own self-limiting beliefs as well. One of the things that I learned that I read about, and this is a good analogy for you, Dan, for your brain, is that if you imagine a rowing boat and you're setting off across the lake of life, let's call it, and your self-limiting beliefs are the rotten planks in your boat. So you have to continually work on those beliefs, otherwise you'll never get across the lake of life and you'll just sink in it and get stressed and be overcome by everything. So it's a continual process, like we've seen, that continually, what was your little thing name, shame and blame or something?
Yeah.
So it's continual. That is a continual process, isn't it? You know, something that you have to work on all the time to keep on top of those rotten planks that could be sinking your ship.
You don't just cure it with a click of the fingers and then that's it, gone. The mind is very complex, isn't it? And obviously there's lots of external influences coming in all the time. So you have to keep on top of it. And I think an important thing is, even the fact that we're talking about it, that we have self-limiting beliefs and we've kind of overcome some of them quite recently, it's to help others. Because if you know how hard it is, if you've had these feelings and you've overcome them, you know how difficult it can be. So I think it's really important to help other people, because it can feel quite lonely when you have these negative thoughts. So try and help people. And some people might be looking for help and they just don't speak out. So if you can just have a conversation or just bring up a subject and be vulnerable as well, let people know that you're feeling these way, because there might be a really simple solution. And once you realize that you're not the only person who thinks like this, it can be quite liberating, kind of.
Yeah. And they're insidious as well, isn't it? Just when you think you've got on top of them, and then something little tiny comment that someone makes, or, you know, something that you hear can just set them all off again, can't it? You know, so you've got to keep working on it. And like you say, helping others to get through them also helps you.
You can't give what you don't have. So if you can overcome some of your own self-limiting beliefs, then I find it's really important to help others, because then you never know what they can help you with as well. We're all here to help each other. No one knows everything.
Yeah.
So, but another example of a big one that I overcame, not totally, but still, it was a big hurdle, was when we went online, when the gym shut down, we were doing online classes. I was doing a lot of them for free. Then I decided to start charging. It was asking for money. That's a big one. And I know you mentioned it's a big one with other people as well. So my self-limiting belief was, who am I to charge people to do this? There's so much free stuff out there. People aren't going to pay me to do it. I don't ask for money off people. And then you just start playing all these tricks in your head. I remember writing the sales script and the advert and getting ready to press send, and like sweating and heart pounding, thinking it's fear of failure as well. Putting
fear
all that effort in.
Failure, yeah. Fear of rejection.
And it was a big thing. But now it seems like nothing, because I've done it and overcome it. Not totally, but yeah, getting ready to press send and to ask people for money. Wasn't like I was pinning them down and dragging money out of the pockets. It was just people buy things every day. It's just still choice, isn't it? But yeah, there was a lot of fear of failure. It was something I felt as well I had to do, but it didn't make it easy.
I think that's one of the hardest things in a business, is asking people for money for what you do, and pricing as well. Knowing your own value and putting a price on it is really, really difficult. And I think that's where a lot of people's self-limiting beliefs come out. Like you say, they think, well, no one's going to pay that. Look, them down the road are charging that. I can't charge more than they are. But why not? Why? You're not them. You're not offering, you don't have their superpowers and they don't have your superpowers, and people will pay for your value. And if you don't value yourself, nobody else will. So, you know, you've got to get out there and do that. I think that actually is one of the biggest mindset shifts that I've had since I started business, like asking people to pay for the value of what you offer.
Yeah. And when you put a price on things, people then automatically assume that that's what it's worth. So if you have a car that's worth £100,000, or you get a car that's worth £100, because you put a price on it, people think that one's 1,000 times better. So you put a price on things and then people assume, so it goes along with the price. And like you said about, say your competitor down the street charges X amount, so I can only charge that. But the only reason they're charging that amount is because of their beliefs.
Yeah.
So you have to think, what are you worth, not them.
Yeah, and if you decide to undercut them, then the next person down the road around the other corner will go, oh, look, they're only charging that. So it's like a race to the bottom. So do you appreciate free, and do you want a cheap service? Like, I see this asked all the time on these like forums and groups, like, anyone know a cheap plumber? I mean, would you want a cheap plumber?
Yeah, there's like, certain things you shouldn't skimp on, is there? And when people, there's a good saying, isn't it? When people pay, they pay attention. So if you want people to actually get results from whatever service or product you're selling, then make it valuable and put a good price on it. Because if the more people invest, the more they're going to actually use the product or use your service and use it how it was designed to be used.
And listen to what you're saying, yeah. So Dan, how would we get rid? Have you got any techniques? I've got a few written down here, if you haven't got any.
Well, I think the name it, blame it, shame it is
really good. And yeah. I think like the things that I've written down here follows alongside with what you've said. One of the things I've said is write down what your self-limiting beliefs are at that time. And sometimes it's really good if you write these down, because I do this sometimes. And then in a year's time, look back at what they were. And like you were saying, you know, like sometimes when you then ran your course successfully and it just became like, yeah, asking people for money, it became the norm. So but you understand that that was a self-limiting belief that you overcame, and you overcame it. And what happened? The world didn't collapse around your ears, did it? Nobody said, God damn, you crap.
It's good to have positive feedback, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the next one would be to, after you've written down, is to think about, when did you start believing that this was the case? What triggered you? Sometimes it can be, like we said, like your teacher's comment, like you'll never be good at maths or something like that, you know? And that can just trigger it for the rest of your life. Then find a time when this belief wasn't true. So can you think of a time before you had this belief? What happened to you to get that belief? And think about how it holds you back and how it has held you back in your life. What would you be without this belief? So if you didn't believe that, say you were disorganized, how would that have affected your life? Visualize who you'd be without this belief. We've talked about visualization before, and it's a really powerful tool. All the top athletes use visualization techniques, don't they? So visualize what you want to achieve. And then write a statement that is opposite to what that self-limiting belief is, and use that statement. So if you think that I am, say, I'm fat and I hate my body, instead of thinking like that, think, okay, I'm not where I want to be right now, but I've got a strong, I'm strong and healthy. Do you know what I mean? Like, change it from hating yourself to actually starting to think more positively about yourself. So reframing the belief.
The last example you used, if you're overweight and you think, oh, I don't like this, well, first of all, think, oh, well, this is a teacher come along to teach me how I don't want to be. So not everything you learn is to show you how you want to be. It's like a dream or a nightmare, isn't it? You might dream to be in better shape, but currently you're in a nightmare. So use that nightmare as a teacher. Think, well, this is here to help me realize where I don't want to be. Again, it's perspective. We talk about it a lot, don't we? It's very similar. We mentioned earlier, it's like imposter syndrome. In my mind, the aim of the game is to not like totally eradicate these self-limiting beliefs. I think that's almost impossible to some degree. There's always going to be polarities. There's always going to be negative thoughts and positive thoughts. Just try and turn the volume up on the positive thoughts as much as we can and just dampen down the negative ones. They're always going to be there. We just want to diminish them as quickly as we can and make them as quiet as we can. But they still will be there. That's just life.
Yeah, and then things that happen in life can trigger them. So then you've got to go back and continue. What did you say about weed in your garden?
If you don't plant flowers, your garden will fill up with weeds by default.
Good one.
Dynamite.
So I think that's a good place to end there, Dan, on your nugget of gold there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a short and sweet one, but I think it's important because we all have them. And even if just by listening to this podcast, if the only thing people take away is that it just brings a few of their self-limiting beliefs out of the unconscious into the mind, so then they can at least start thinking about them, I think that's a small victory, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to know that people aren't alone, that me and you go through them, we've given some examples like the podcast, asking for money, teaching exercise classes. Other people might have bigger problems, but everyone's problems are their own, and they can seem really, really scary and real. So everyone has them and people aren't alone. And the best thing to do is try and bring them up and even talk to other people about them as well.
Like Tony Robbins says, kill the monster when it's little before it starts killing everyone in the village. I always think of the Lambton worm when I'm thinking about that.
For all our worldwide listeners.
If you don't know what the Lambton worm is, then you need to Google it. It's a not, I won't start singing the song, you're all right. But if only Lord Lambton had killed the worm before he'd gone off on the Crusades. Okay, we would like our listeners to, if you've enjoyed this, then go on, Dan, say you're saying.
Pass the pod.
Yeah.
Sticking with it.
And we'd like you to subscribe and follow and just comment and give us some feedback, because we love hearing about how our podcasts are, where you're listening to them and how they're affecting you.
Yeah, we would love any stories where you've had your own self-limiting beliefs or imposter syndrome, or you've used any of the six foundation principles to help you improve your life. Any little stories would be great. And any other topics you think you would like to hear us converse about would be great, because as you can probably tell, we can yap on about anything.
Maybe not sport, although you could probably yap on about sport.
Yeah, that might have to be a the Solo cast.
Yeah, Solo. Yeah, absolutely. So where can our listeners find you out and about, Dan?
The best place is on Facebook, Daniel Purvis Health and Fitness. Yeah, Spotify and iTunes, the Small Business Whole Health Podcast.
Get the name right, Dan.
No, I don't even know the name of your own podcast. Yeah, so we're on to being the double figures now for episodes, aren't we?
Yes. We're heading towards the big number for the downloads as well.
Yep, heading up towards 1,000 at the time of recording, so we've smashed that imposter syndrome out of the park.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay.
Where can people find you?
Yes, they can find me on organicpilates.co.uk. I am about to, well, I probably have at the time of listening launched the next Flatten Your Abs program. So if anybody wants to join us, it has, it lose some inches, which, and I'll show you how to, what to eat and what exercises to do and to get rid of the belly fat, because none of us want that in September. So we start in September. So if you want to, just go on my website and you'll find it in the shop section. You can have a little read on there.
Cool. It's important to stay fit and healthy, isn't it?
Yeah, especially in this day and age. Well, in any day and age, but...
See you later, everyone.
Bye.